are back inside the cave this morning. John Kane, Pat Hayes with you. Glad you could join us. And as promised, we have Tom Crawford from the Crawford Podcasting Network and a regular on Fox 47 out of Lansing. And we saw some pretty good football in the second half this week against Rutgers. First half continues to be a struggle for the Wolverines, but I got to say, several times this year, Tom, the Michigan Wolverines have made some great adjustments at halftime and just have blown their opponents out in the third and fourth quarters.
Yeah, what is it, Pat? A magic pixie dust that they're throwing in that locker room? 100-3 in the second half, the last four games.
Isn't that amazing?
And the 3 points of Jesse Mentor's defense is what really intrigues me. We saw this second half Iowa game, Indiana, Penn State, Michigan State. I mean, the second half is their half. I don't know if this is going to continue to work when Michigan's got some incredibly tough challenges. You know, when you get to Ohio State and potentially the CFP, but it worked. And when you really diagnose that first half, Michigan's defense did play. When you have a block punt that results in a touchdown, the chance of that team winning the game is really high. And then obviously the team being in that game and getting that all crowd jazzed up in Piscataway was nerve-wracking. I was at the basketball game last night talking to a lot of Michigan fans, and they all said the same thing. You know, I was nervous at halftime. Were you? Yeah, I was nervous at halftime, but then ended up being 52-17, quite an impressive win.
Well, on that block punt, you know, it was deja vu back to that Michigan State game. I said, oh my word, what is this all about? And I can't remember a block punt by a Michigan kicker since that time.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. They slanted that half of that defense or that offensive line to the right of the field, and then basically that linebacker came in and on a twist that he had a driveway to go down with uncontested, and boom. That was bad. That's something you have to fix, right? And it's going to show up on film. Other teams are going to see it, so you're going to have to remedy that situation. But overall, 433 yards of total offense to 180 for Rutgers and 14 yards of rushing for Rutgers. I mean, 14 yards is not very many yards. And so I think the positive takeaways outnumber the negatives in this game.
Tom, I mean, is this a situation where the coaching staff just is not seeing some of what the team, the opponents are using in the first half before they get to the game and have to make the adjustments? Because I don't really, it's a little hard to understand.
Well, I mean, in the first half, I mean, Michigan, pretty much held them. I mean, Michigan could have had this game in hand. I mean, they scored in the first drive, so that was impressive. And then the second drive, and they had Andrew Anthony. That was JJ, that deep vertical route that he's got to remedy that situation. He's got to hang it a little bit more and let Andrew go get it. But Andrew could have had it. That would have been a big play. I mean, Michigan could have jumped on him, and I don't think it would have been as significant. Then the other thing is that you got Jake Moody, a heck of a kicker. Now, 50 yards is a long kick, but he missed two kicks. Okay, and so it kind of adds up. I actually was not that concerned about at halftime, obviously because of the history, but Michigan's got better athletes than Rutgers. Michigan can just run the damn ball, and they did, and you have two running backs that both got 109 yards. You got something going good for you.
Well, so you mentioned Anthony and that's something that they're going to need to add to the arsenal as we get down closer to the end of the season, being more consistent with the vertical game.
Yeah, that's the thing. A couple things, John, that in the red zone, listen, the red zone, remember the red zone woes of the Michigan State game? That ended up being, they were 100% effective, but it took all four downs. Now, they were bound and determined to run the football, Harbaugh was, okay? And it accomplished that. But can you do that against better teams? Now, Rutgers got a pretty good defense, front seven, but Can you do that against better teams? So that's going to be an issue. They're going to have to – I'm still mystified they don't do – in some of these scenarios deep in the red that they don't go a little play action because they know they're going to run. Maybe they're saving some of these tools in the toolbox for Ohio State. I start to think that. But back to receiving, yeah, they're going to have to get – you're going to have to get more kids involved. I mean, you know, 151 yards through the air, 13 catches overall. Yeah, you know, Donovan Edwards, your running back, is your best receiver when it comes down to it. So, I mean, they're going to have, you know, and Michigan does not really have a tall receiver like to run a fade or post corner in the end zone, like when they had Adrian Arrington or somebody like that. Darius Clemens is their tallest receiver. He's 6'4", but he doesn't really, he's a freshman, doesn't play that much. But they're going to have to figure that out or get Schoonmaker involved. I mean, you remember the 97 team, you know, when Jeremy Tooman would catch a lot of touchdown passes in the, on that waggle play in the end zone for Brian Greasy. I mean, I don't see that element. So I think there's some more tweaking that needs to go on, guys, in that red zone offense.
Well, I mean, if they can't get some better results out of the vertical game, I think it's pretty obvious that they're going to see some an extra guy in the box.
Oh yeah, well I mean you're gonna have teams daring Michigan to throw vertical. And the other thing that really concerned me, and I'm knocking on wood as I say this, I mean, you know, keeping JJ McCarthy upright. I mean, he took a lot of hits. I don't know. I watched the replay. I taped the game, broke it down a little bit afterward. I mean, he took a lot of hits in that game. And the key for Michigan to beat Ohio State. His number 9 has got to be in that game the whole game, okay? And so you're going to have to protect him. And, Michigan was down 4 start. You know, their left tackle, you know, Ryan Hayes was not there. Percy did a great job, I thought, for inexperience. But and then their offensive line has not been in continuity of all starting together as a unit. I mean, it's just been constantly moving parts. So if they can get that O-line back healthy, I think that's going to help. But keeping J.J. McCarthy upright, nobody touches the quarterback, kind of a creed for those O-line, that's probably the biggest variable to me.
Well, I don't see Nebraska scaring me too much. I mean, I haven't seen anything from them this year that would allow me to think that they can do much in this game at all.
Yeah, that's a profound statement there, John. I love it. Yeah, you're true. I mean, you're spot on. It's at home. Let's be real. It's easier. You know, Michigan's better, plays better at home than they do on the road. And, you know, not to get ahead of Nebraska, but Illinois became Illinois this past Saturday against Michigan State. You knew that was going to happen. And not to disrespect Michigan State. God forbid I do that. But what I'm saying is I think these next two home games are, call it, very winnable, and then you go down to Columbus and go chasing a national championship. You know, it's make it a three-round. It's a three-round playoff starting with Ohio State.
I mean, when a 3-5 team can beat the number one team in the West, what does that say about the West?
The West is a mess. Yeah, the West is a total mess. I mean, it really is. And, I mean, you got Purdue. You know, Purdue could lose to, Southern Illinois. And I'm just throwing a smaller school team. And then beat Georgia. I mean, maybe that's exaggerating. I'm truly exaggerating here. But Purdue is the weirdest team I think I've ever seen in college football. They play well sometimes, and then they're terrible. So what version of Purdue is going to go to Champaign to play Illinois? But, I mean, who knows who's going to come out of the West. Maybe Wisconsin ends up coming out of the West. But the West is a mess, okay? And this is where I envy these other conferences that don't have divisions. You take your top two teams and you play them in your conference championship game. I think the Big Ten should strongly consider that moving forward.
All right, let's talk basketball now. Michigan, opening game of the season last night, a 75-56 win over Purdue Fort Wayne. Wow, Hunter Dickinson looked like he was in midseason form. 9 of 11, 22 points, 12 rebounds, 3 block shots. And the beneficiary of a lot of shots when Hunter was double-teamed was Jet Howard, 21 points, 5 assists. You were at the game, Tom. Did you see the same thing we did?
Yeah, I saw. I mean, Jet Howard, I mean, he's a very mature young man. We got to chat with him in the post game. Yeah, he's got a smooth stroke, I tell you. He's got a lot of fluidity on the floor. He's always moving. He gets separation. I like this kid. Michigan's very deep. There's a lot of players, and you know, Juwan is tweaking right now. Now, keep in mind, you know, Purdue Fort Wayne, because Purdue Fort Wayne, you know, they're probably. I think in most of the season projections, they're picked to win the Horizon League. Okay, so it's Horizon League, but still, this is a good team, and they got some speed. They got some three ball guys. I think we're missing one of their players. Yeah, their best player. So regardless of that, I thought this was a decent win. We're going to learn more when they go on their, you know, they obviously when they play Kentucky in London in a couple of weeks, and North Carolina and Charlotte and some other tougher games in between, including Virginia at home for that Big Ten ACC Challenge. But I think this team's got a lot of potential. It's going to take a while to get it all, you know, kind of threaded together accurately. But I like what I saw. I mean, Joey Baker played pretty good, the transfer from Duke. And then Kobe's coming around. I mean, Juwan's very protective of him. He says, that first game, when anybody throws any nugget of, you know, are you worried about a shot or this or that? I'm feeling pretty good about this team. I mean, Michigan football, Michigan basketball, pretty good combo right now, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, as far as the season goes, it'll be a long season for the Wolverines. But I don't know. To me, it I don't know if this is a problem for Juwan Howard, but how do you manage all these kids that are sitting on the bench that have talent that could come in and play for you at any time?
Well, I get, you know, these kids know that's what you signed up for. And, you know, typically what coaches will do, they'll go deeper in non-conference play. Even early in the Big Ten, they'll go deeper. They might go 10. I mean, this is a 10-man roster. Easy. There's 10 guys that can rotate. And a lot of coaches don't like to go deeper than that. Then when it gets to, you know, crunch time or winning time or NCAA tournament time, it shrinks a little bit. You're down to more of an 8-man rotation. So it's going to be a process, but there's a lot of newbies you're going to have to throw. Like Jalen Llewellyn, the transfer from Princeton, I mean, he played 25 minutes. He only had 2 points, but he does some nice things. But, I mean, this is Hunter Dickinson. This guy is a big dude, and he influences how other teams, you know, have to deal with Michigan. And so his height, and then when you have that combined with somebody like Jet Howard, I think this, and he got another little guard named Doug McDaniel. The guy is faster. He had a dribble drive. I've never seen that kind of speed at Michigan since Ricky Green. On that one moment in time, if you know what I mean, a lot of talent, like you said, Pat, and I'm excited about this team.
We are about out of time here, Tom, but we want to remind folks that they can hear your podcast any time of the day or night.
Yeah, and follow me at Twitter, Bluebelly Tom, and then on my Facebook page at Tom's Take Community is a community page where all my content is, and Wolverine.com. I got that with John Borton tonight. We're going to have Doug Karsh, voice of Michigan football, with us, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, exciting time, man, going into week number 10 for the Wolverines. See if they can get double digits in W's.
All right, 10-0. That's what I'm looking for this Saturday, Tom. We'll see you in the box, and go Blue.
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
All right. Tom Crawford from the Crawford Podcasting Network, our guest here on Inside the Cave. Don't go away. We'll be right back